Okay, so at we're in Shire Aleph. We're wrapping up Perek Chaf Aleph, where he's talking about the significance of keeping the Torah the way it's written. And despite the fact that the Avos did things, as we would say, called the end justifying the means, but that's only because that they were only keeping the Torah in the first place based on the Shurish and Shama, based on the Tikkunim and the Inyanim. And since they were keeping the Torah based on the Tikkunim and the Inyanim, Memela, it was clear to them that in certain areas, a greater Tikkun and a greater Avoida will come out if they go, if they do something particularly now that's against the Torah. They are permitted because they were never mitzvah to keep the Torah. As a matter of fact, the Reb Chaim finishes off Perek Chafal with a tremendous chiddush to say that's exactly why the Torah was not given to the Avos, because Hashem had to allow some leeway for them in those years to marry two sisters, etc. And in order to allow for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give the Torah, and but they were so spiritually connected that they understood what the tikkunim necessary are in order to keep what the tikkunim that they have to accomplish were, and mamela they kept the Torah in mitzvahs. But based on the fact that it was from their own tikkunim, they were permitted to change things around. That's what he says. Now he continues into Perek Chaf Beis. Okay, in Perek Chaf Beis, he says like this: Umi, however, mi sheba Moshe, but once Moshe Rabbeinu came, v'yirid al haaretz, and brought the Torah down to the land, loy b'shamayim hi. The Torah is no longer b'shamayim. Now, this is a little bit of a play on words, right? Because loy b'shamayim in general is like a reference to the fact that we say the pasuk that the Torah is not b'shamayim, which means that the poskim in shamayim cannot tell us what to do. The poskim in shamayim, shamayim does not paskin shailas, right? Even if we get Ruach HaKodesh, shamayim cannot paskin shailas. Only the Beis Din here can paskin. But he says loy b'shamayim means the Torah is not about what's going on in the shamayim, in the sense that that's not going to determine what we're going to do. Ulebal yischakim adam agadol. A adam gadol should not be mischakim, should not play tricks to outsmart Hashem. I understand the reasoning behind mitzvahs, in all the upper worlds. I know what my neshama is all about, and I feel more connected when I, do this. For example, I could daven Shmoneh Esrei at 8 o'clock in the morning. No problem. I'll say Shmoneh Esrei. But come on. That's the Shmoneh Esrei that Hashem wants for me. I'm half asleep. I'm not getting into it. I have a much better idea. I'll sleep till 9. I'll have Kiddush. I'll eat Geshmaka breakfast. Now, not only that, maybe I'll give a little, boost. A little Chaim will boost, give a little boost. Now I'm ready to daven. That's going to be a Shachris. That Shachris is going to shake the world. So, he says, and a person cannot say with fisherish nishmasi lavra chas v'shalom al eiz a mitzvah to be over even one mitzvah, or litcha shum prati prati maisa, or to be doichi even a detail of a mitzvah, la soisa b'magras to do it a little bit, taking away av diktuk echad midibri soif from even one detail of the derabanan, or l'shanos zmana, or to change the time of the mitzvah. The time is the time. If you try to change the time, it don't work. So therefore, we don't have permission to analyze what the Shurish Neshama accomplishes. That's not our avoda. We just got to do it. And that's why, what was the last thing written in the Torah? Like, come Navi Kemoshe. That there is no Navi like Moshe. And even a prophet cannot change the prophecy of Moshe. Even if a prophet will come and to take away or to add on to the Torah, only very, very seldom does the Torah allow for a Navi to change part of the Torah. One of those examples, someone asked me today about Eliyahu Bar Carmel. Eliyahu Bar Carmel brought Karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. So it's called Shchutei Chutz. And why did he do that? To disprove the Nevi'ei Baal. So seemingly, Eliyahu Navi is using this method. He's saying, I'll accomplish more by doing an Avera. So how is he allowed to do that? The answer is, Nefesh HaChaim himself speaks out that case. And he says, because Eliyahu Bar Carmel got a Nevuah about it. Hashem told him to do it. And even then, the Gemara says, it's only because he was known to be a big tzaddik that they were allowed to believe him that he got such a nevuah. But normally, you would not be allowed to believe a Navi that he even got such a nevuah. But his permission to do it was because he was a Navi. Okay? Now, the classical proof to this concept is from Chizkiyahu HaMelech. What was the story of Chizkiyahu HaMelech? The story of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was, Shirah B'ruach HaKodesh, he saw with Ruach HaKodesh, that his children were going to be the worst Balei Avera ever to exist on the planet. It was Menashe, was his son. Menashe was a big Balei Avera. And he did not want to bring Menashe into this world. So therefore, he didn't get married and he had no kids. So the Navi Yeshaya, which Navi? One of the Nevi'im, I don't remember who. Yeah, the Navi Yeshaya came over to him and says, V'amalai ki meis ata v'loi sichya. You will die. Why? Mishum delay asakta b'peri of Arabia, because you didn't have kids. He said to him, what do you mean I didn't have kids? I didn't have kids because for the kavod of Hashem, I didn't have kids. I didn't want to bring in a Russia into this world. Sounds pretty logical, right? And the Gemara says, no, he gets punished with death. Why? So the Gemara's famous words, such a geshmak words, it says, Bahadi kavshi derachman olam alach. Those are the secrets of Hashem. That's not for people in this, from humans. Human beings are supposed to do the Torah. Hashem knows how to take care of himself. You don't have to worry about taking care of Hashem for him. He already told you. You're supposed to have kids. You're supposed to do your part. You're worried about Hashem now that this guy's going to be a Russia? Is that your problem? You're not here to defend Hashem. You're here to do the Torah of Hashem. If Hashem gave Torah, so that's what you're supposed to do. So he says, even though he was 100%, it's not the pshat that the Navi was telling him, oh, how do you know your kid's going to be a Rosh? Maybe he'll be a tzaddik. Maybe you're misinterpreting your dreams. Maybe he'll do tshuva. He didn't say that. He said, you're 100% right. Your child's going to be a Rosh. It's because of Menashe that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You're 100% right about everything you saw in the Nevuah, but still you have to have your kids because the Torah says Pur Revu, and it's not up to you to make that type of calculation. That's the secrets of Hashem. The secrets of Hashem keep to Hashem. You do what you're supposed to do. Very powerful concept. Why? We don't really know the reasons for the mitzvahs. Even Moshe didn't know the reasoning behind all the mitzvahs. Only he knew. And therefore, we're not allowed nowadays to make these types of calculations. Ki haTorah kedusha atzula milamal roish. The Torah is from the Olam Atzilus. Me'al kol ha'asagos. Ve'ich efshar shiyah adavar masul ha'asagos adam. So you think you're going to understand it? I mean, even what we understand is the tip of the iceberg. It's really not the thing itself. It's just a malbush and an explanation. It's not the thing itself. You think you understand how it works, right? You don't know how it works, right? It's like all these examples. You know, you'll see it. You see a certain contraption, and you think that hey, this piece looks extra. This little string over here, it doesn't look right. It's hanging off, it's ugly. So you pull it off, and the guy's like, well, who pulled off the string? That keeps the whole machine together. So we don't really know fully how it works. And therefore, our job is to just do the mitzvah and not to try to figure out what we're accomplishing and how we can accomplish it better and et cetera. Our job is primarily to do it the way that we're told to do it. Okay? Now, when you say the Paschal of Yisrael, and from the moment that there was no more prophecy, even if all the Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael, all the Chachamim of Klal Yisrael would get together, they might know everything, and they'll put their brains together, and they get all together and say, you know what? We want to change the detail of one mitzvah. Well, we'll change one detail. The tefillin should have, you know, doesn't have to be a round square. It could be whatever. Change one detail of a mitzvah. Or to change the time of the mitzvah. They don't have to daven in the zman of tefillah, etc. We're not permitted to listen to them. And even if this is a bigger thing, let's say a bas kol would come down. A bas kol is a heavenly voice. A heavenly voice would come from the heavens and say, today, let's do things differently, guys. Today, I want you to take, instead of esther, take something else. Take an avocado this year. And it's a heavenly voice from Shemaim. Do you know what we would tell the heavenly voice? Say, sorry, we don't paskin like you. We already have pshat in the pasuk. He says, what are you not paskin like me? I'm talking to you from Shemaim. So he says, hey, let me show you. And you open up a chumash, and you open up a rashi, and it says it's called an eser. The chumash, the Shulchan Aruch already paskined that it's an eser. I don't care what it says in Shemaim anymore. It doesn't matter. The Shemaim themselves cannot even uproot the Shulchan Aruch. For sure, we can't. Right? That's what he says. So therefore, loy b'shmaimi. So he says, adayim b'chachmei ha-Talmud, in the days of the Talmud, how you reshoin l'chadish mitzvahs d'rabbonah, k'shamot s'smach min ha-Torah. In the days of the Talmud, they can make up new things. They can make up a new mitzvahs d'rabbonah, like Hanukkah and Megillah. Right? Hanukkah and Purim. They were allowed to make up new holidays, but that's only, first of all, that was before the Gemara was signed and sealed. And second of all, he says that's because there was a remez, there was a hint to it in the pasuk. In the pasuk, they found a remez for Chanukah and for Purim. Kigoyner is Chanukah, v'chein l'gzir gzeres yuches davar. U'kasher nechta matam, what a kodesh, who wants the Talmud, was signed and sealed. Anu ein lanu elo lishmor v'lasois, k'chol ha'kosu v'tere ha'kdoisha, sh'b'ksavu v'apeh. We just have to do what the Torah says. Without even budging one iota for what it says in the Chumash and in the Halacha. Okay, so this is really the message we spoke about yesterday, that the greatest thing we can accomplish is just listening to the mitzvah itself. All the other accomplishments and all the other things that come along with it are subordinate, are not the main thing. The main thing is to listen to what it says. And that's it. Everything else, it doesn't matter. And this is obviously, you understand, this is where the Nefesh HaChaim is building out his point at the end of the day. It says, even though we're Elohim and everything we do controls the heavens and everything we do controls the way we react and there's a chain link and we're connected all the way up to Shemaim and etc. So what gets the chain going? What gets the reaction going? Mitzvahs, period. Mitzvahs and averas. That's what gets it going. And if you do an avera in order to accomplish something, you messed up. Even if your intention was proper. Because it's not for us to decide those types of calculations. In the days of the Avos, they were allowed to think about and say, well, if what I'm trying to do is move the chain, let me just move the chain without doing the physical rules. But nowadays, we cannot do that anymore. And I think, that this is a very common error that people make. People are very quick to say, it's better for me to do this. So therefore, I'll cut corners here, I'll cut corners there. It's more likely that I'll be able to do better this way, I'll do better that way. Now, even the concept, now this already the place can bring down. But I'll just give an example. And again, I'm not here to give a psak on this at all, because I think Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's mutter. So obviously, if he says it's mutter, it's fine. But I'm just going to give an example where people will say that we'll try to cut certain corners when it comes to like Kiruv. Let's say, and say, well, I'm making the person religious, so it's worth it for me to, shave off a little bit of halacha here, shave off something there, because in the long run, the person's going to end up being religious. So it's very dangerous. You got to be careful with that. You have to really have a chacham telling you what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. Not everything is so poshut, right? Because, bottom line is that we're not here to make those types of calculations, ultimately. Sometimes it's correct, sometimes not. So you have to really ask a chacham. But the point of what I'm saying is that ultimately all the tikkunim come from doing the mitzvah the proper way and being plugged in and doing it the right way, okay? The last two paragraphs we'll do tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, and then I'll wrap up Shar Aleph, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Rabbi.
Okay, good stuff. Okay. Good to see you, David. Okay.
Good to see you, Roy.
Thank you.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll learn when.